Welcome to Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Sam. Today we're going to be doing a podcast on would Jesus call your church that you belong to a synagogue of Satan? Well, we're going to look at scripture and find out. It's important. You see, Satan is very deceptive. Oh, a lot of people don't realize he actually does preach Jesus Christ. He preaches the gospel. He preaches the Holy Spirit, just not in the complete truth. Today we're going to look at God's Word and why Jesus calls some churches the synagogue of Satan. Father, I thank you for your Word, that it continues to instruct us. Father, I pray that you will give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Father, I command evil to flee in the name of Jesus. And that your Spirit minister to those that are listening to convict them of your word and that they be edified and any deception is exposed. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, looking at the Word of God, I want to look first, start off and turn to the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 20. There is a warning of a deception that would creep into the churches. In Acts chapter 20, starting and looking at verse 29 and 30, he says, I know after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. You see, God told us in advance that we need to be on our guard because there will be savage wolves that will come in. These wolves sometimes initially aren't even going to be recognized. You see, they come up from within the church, from within, from amongst you. But they speak falsehood. And if you turn to Revelation, where Jesus mentions the term and the words of synagogue of Satan, we'll get some insight into the principles of what he was referring to. In Revelation chapter 2, and verse 9, when he's speaking to the church of Smyrna, he says, I know your tribulation and your poverty. But you are rich. And the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Now, he's not referring to ethnicity. He's not referring to, oh, this person says I'm a Jew. Like when Paul says, I'm a Jew. Or Peter were to say, I'm a Jew. He's not referring to that. You can't refute that. Those people were born of that lineage and ethnicity. They were Jews. So that's not what he's referring to. He's referring to those who are implying and saying that they're Jews from the standpoint of they're true servants of God. You see, he says that they blaspheme when they say that. Even though they think they're servants of God, Jesus says they aren't. They're a synagogue, but not of Christ, not of the Father, but of the devil. And it's kind of like we covered, in 1 John chapter 1. People will be convinced in their mind. And in their mind, they'll say, oh, I've come to know God. But the problem is, as it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You see, people will be convinced in their mind, oh, but I do serve God. Oh, no, but you don't understand. I have come to know him. But God turns around and says, they're a liar. The truth is not in him. Or again, in chapter 1, verse 6, and in this book, he's reading to those who think they have fellowship, but they don't. You find that in verse 3. But he says, if we say we have fellowship with him, referring to the Father, and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Or in verse 9, when it says of chapter 2, and still in 1 John, the one who says he's in the light, again, they say they're in the light, and yet he hates his brother. God says they're in darkness until now. It's the same here with the synagogue of Satan. You see, Jesus repeats it again. Again, to another church in Revelation, chapter 3, verse 9, this time to Philadelphia, where he points it out when he's speaking to the church of Philadelphia. He says in verse 8 and 9, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have a little power, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews. There it is again. You see, they say they're Jews, but they are not, but they lie. I will make them come and bow down at your feet, and make them know that I have loved you. Again, another example. He's not referring to them being physical Jews. He's referring to whether or not they're spiritual Jews. Are they of the true church? They claim to be, but they aren't. It's consistent with Revelation, or not Revelation, Romans. In Romans chapter 2, at the end of the book, in Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, it says, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from men, but from God. So, how many people are there that actually believe in God, would say they're servants of God, would say that they're a spiritual Jew? But Jesus or the Father are going to say, no, they're liars. They're not. Well, sadly, as we look at Scripture, it's more than just a few. You see, what people don't realize is the devil does come and preach Christ, the gospel, and the Holy Spirit. This was warned. You turn with me to 2 Corinthians. Look at some more passages. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, when Paul appeals with the people, he says in chapter 11, first starting in verse 1, through verse 4, he says, I wish that you would bear with me in a little foolishness. But indeed you are bearing with me. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, because I betrothed you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. They put up with it. Why do they put up with it? Because they're being deceived. Well, who is it that's preaching this different Christ, this different spirit, and this different gospel? Well, as you keep reading, we get more insight. See, Paul says he's going to cut off opportunity of these people who desire an opportunity to be regarded in the matter about which they are boasting. And verse 13, he says, such men are false apostles. Now listen, this isn't just people who are false. They're false apostles. They're deceitful workers. They disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. Now, many of these people don't even realize they're doing it. They're deceived by the devil. They're following the devil's doctrine of Christ. The devil's doctrine on the Holy Spirit. The devil's doctrine on the gospel. Verse 14, no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. But whose end will be according to their deeds? Now Jesus spoke again of this in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus knew this was going to happen, and many people, sadly, it's many, not few, but many who are going to go wayward. They're going to think they're serving Jesus. They're going to think they're walking in light. But sadly, it's many who are on the wide road and they entered through the large gate that leads to destruction. Starting in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Now again, he's speaking to those who confess him as Lord. He's speaking to those who think they serve in truth. He says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who are entering through it. Now ask yourself, who are the many? And find out he's not talking about the world, he's talking about the false church. Verse 14, for the gate is small, and the way is narrow, that leads to life. There are few who find it. You see, there's a narrow gate that you must enter through. And then there's a narrow path that you must remain on. Only those who have been truly been born again by the Spirit of God have the ability to walk such a way, because the Father has made their path straight through the blood of Jesus and by the power of the Spirit. Verse 15, here it is. Beware of the false prophets. These are the false teachers, the false leaders who come to you in sheep's clothing. Oh, they're going to look like they're, quote, a Christian. The problem is on the inside. Inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. Now, even Jesus said, you know, to the leaders of the day that outwardly they were righteous. The problem is they still had corruption inside of them. It says Jesus taught, if you still have sinful thoughts, because you haven't received a new heart and all the sinful thoughts have been put to death, then you're the bad tree. That's what defiles you. Listen to the new heart, the new spirit episodes that we did on the heart and what defiles a person. It's not the outward actions. It's the inward thoughts. You're already guilty of murder, adultery, all those things, just if you have the thought of anger of man and the lust of the eyes. If you haven't heard these things, you haven't been taught the full truth. You may be in danger of listening to the devil's doctrine, the devil's teaching, the synagogue of Satan, and not even know it. You see, he says in verse 16, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes and figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So you who are listening, I ask you, are you producing bad fruit? Do you not know Jesus said you cannot be light and dark? You cannot be good and bad. You cannot be fresh and bitter. You cannot say you're unleavened, but yet have leaven in you. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot do the works of God and the works of the devil, which is sin. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who is doing the will of my Father, who is in heaven, will enter. Are you proving the will of God in your life, all that is good, acceptable, and perfect, your life as a holy living sacrifice, which is our command in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2? Or not? These are people who confess Jesus is Lord. These are the people that are entering through the wide gate that leads to destruction. These are the people who are in the false church, the synagogue of Satan, and don't even realize it. Verse 22, it's not few, it's many. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name? Lord, Lord, did we not perform many miracles in your name? And Jesus will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who commit iniquity or sin. Were you not set free? Did you not listen to the teaching that Jesus said in John chapter 8 about everyone who still commits sin is still a slave of sin? The slave will not get to remain in the house. You see, if you haven't been set free, then I can probably guarantee you you're following the teachings of the synagogue of Satan. They hold to a form of godliness, but they have no power. You see, these things were warned against in 2 Timothy. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy, chapter 3, verse 5 says they're going to hold to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. In verse 13 of chapter 3, still in 2 Timothy, it says, but evil men and imposters, they're imposters in the eyes of God, they will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. They don't even realize they're being deceived as they deceive others. In chapter 4, as you keep looking, it says in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. When they have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. Again, these are people who are seeking God. They're getting teachers of the Word of God for themselves, but they don't realize that they're following the wrong teachers. You see, they're following the teachers that still support the sin in their life. They don't preach you're to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. They don't preach that you're to be walking in light as God Himself is light, having no darkness. They don't proclaim any of the things that is taught about what it means to be dead to sin and alive to righteousness. They don't talk about the power of God that comes upon a person when you are filled and receive all the same fullness that Christ had, and you're to walk in that. Now, we did many episodes on this about being filled with the fullness of God. The Holy Spirit, have you received it? You must be aware of all these false teachings and the dangers. There are many, many dangers. Some other passages I want to look at. Let's go look at Titus. Then we're going to come back to 1 Timothy. You see, Titus, there's a reason why there's a charge to the elders, the overseers of the churches, the local churches of Christ. In Titus chapter 1, starting in verse 10, actually even before in verse 9, with respect to elders, they are commanded to hold fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that they will be able to both exhort in sound doctrine and refute or reprove those who are contradicting. Why? Well, in verse 10, for there are many rebellious men, not few, many, who are empty talkers and they're deceivers. Here it says, especially those of the circumcision. You see, back then, when Christianity was first taking off, the people who were primarily doing a lot of the deceiving were those who were the Jews, claiming to serve God. Today, it's much of the Gentile world claiming to serve Christ. They still hold to a form of godliness and have no power, just like the Jews. They claim to believe in God and believe in the blood of Christ and faith, but yet they're still slaves of sin. They're no different. As he says, as you continue to look, in verse 15, still in Titus chapter 1, he says, to the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Well, what's the problem? Why are they accused of being defiled and unbelieving? Because it says, both their mind and their conscience are defiled. They still have the bad heart, or the bad mind, or the bad conscience. They haven't received the new one. Verse 16, they confess to know God. That's right, they proclaim it. They proclaim that they know God. By their deeds, they deny him. Because they're in the eyes of God, they're detestable, disobedient, and they're disqualified for any good deed. See, they don't understand that in chapter 2, verse 11, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desire. Live sensibly, righteously, and godly today. These people can't do that. See, it says in verse 14 that Jesus gave himself to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify himself a people zealous for good deeds. Now, continuing to look, I want to go back and look at some more passages. This time, let's go back to 1 Timothy. So first, we'll look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. These people are going to be confident in what they proclaim. And sadly, their confidence isn't in truth. In chapter 1, verse 3, as I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus. Now, why is he telling Timothy that? So that you might instruct certain men not to teach false doctrines, nor pay attention to myths and genealogies which give rise to mere speculation, and they do not further the administration of God, which is by faith. But the goal of our instruction, now he's going to say what the goal of our instruction is. It all gets back to the heart. Love from a pure heart. A good conscience is the same thing. And a sincere faith. Many people don't have these things. But some men, strained from these things, have turned aside and they're having fruitless discussions. They want to be teachers of the Word of God, yet they do not understand what they're saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. And there's many people this way. Goes on. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In verse 3, he says, through verse 5, if anyone advocates a different doctrine, a different teaching, and does not agree with the sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with a doctrine that conforms to godliness, as we just talked about, what the grace of God is, godliness, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, or in Titus 2:11. Then this person is conceited. They understand nothing. They have a morbid or deathly interest in controversial questions. They raise up disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, and evil suspicion, constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth. They suppose that godliness is a means of gain, but they don't understand these things. It actually is, if you're in the truth, but these people don't have it. They dispute, they quarrel about things they don't understand, because they haven't come to the true foundation of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, talks about people who are ruining others because of the wrangling about words, and they don't understand what they're saying. And this is the synagogue of Satan. All these false churches. Yes, they proclaim Christ, the gospel, and the Spirit, but not in truth, not in power, and not in freedom. Starting in verse 14 of chapter 2, remind them of these things, and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to argue about words, which is useless. It leads to the ruin of hearers. You need to be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who accurately handles the word of truth. Avoid this worldly and empty chatter. It will only lead to further ungodliness. The talk will spread like a disease, among whom are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth. They've said the resurrection has already taken place, and they've overturned the faith of some. These are people who they believe in God. So much so, they even think the resurrection has already happened. Doesn't matter. God says these people don't know what they're talking about. They've gone astray from the truth. Verse 19, nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands. What is the firm foundation of God in the true church, not the synagogue of Satan? Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from all wickedness. He goes on to talk about if you're one of those vessels, if you've cleansed yourself of all these things. In verse 21, it says, then you'll be a vessel for honor. Then you'll be sanctified. Then you'll be useful to the master, prepared for every good work. So you're to flee from all youthful lust, desires. You're to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with all those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to all, able to teach and patient with wrong, when wrong, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God might grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. What's the result? Verse 26, that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive to do his will. Do you still struggle with sin? Well, it's probably because you're being held captive to do the devil's will. Now, there's hope for that. The best thing is it's not about trying, but you must come to the truth, the true power of God, so you can be set free. God does the work, and the result is you become freed of sin. You now walk and live in holiness, not with sin in your life. God does wonderful works. Has that happened to you? Or are you listening to false teaching? That which Jesus says is that which is of the synagogue of Satan. Philippians. Some more warnings about these false teachings. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 1 through 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing again is no trouble to me, and it's a safeguard to you. The same thing again. Well, what is this? What is the same thing that he needs to tell them again? Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. The false Christians. For we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God, and boast in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. The question is, have you truly come into the Spirit? Do you walk in the Spirit? Are you able to boast in the Spirit? Or do you still struggle and battle in the flesh? Now, there's many out there who are listening to the false teachings of these synagogues of Satan's about the struggle that Paul had in Romans chapter 7, verse 14 to 25. The problem is, that's a lie. They flip the tables on you. You see, that was when Paul was a slave of sin before he was spiritually baptized. We did an episode on that, Overcoming Sin, The War of the Flesh Explained. Go listen to it, and you can receive freedom. You can escape from all this false teaching. And 1 Timothy, you go back I don't recall if I covered this one yet, but I did want to cover it. In chapter 6, again, there's more warning. 1 Timothy chapter 6, reading verse 3 through 5. If anyone advocates for a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with a doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing. And we actually did read this one, but we'll read it again. It's good. He has a deathly interest in controversial questions, disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth. Suppose that godliness is a means of gain. But you see, if you have come into the truth, well, it says in verse 11, you're to flee from all these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. You're to be fighting the good fight of faith and take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. In verse 14, or he charges us in the presence of God in verse 13, and of Christ Jesus, that in verse 14, you are to keep the commandment without stain, blameless, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that the faith that you hold to? But remember, please, be on your guard. Verse 20 to 21. O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. Avoid this worldly and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and gone astray from the faith. I pray that that's not you. What are you listening to? Are you listening to truth? I want to look at a couple more passages before we close. In Jude, we already talked about those who confess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, in Titus chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. It's similar to the warnings that are spoken in the book of Jude. In Jude chapter 1, it's only one chapter, and I want to look at verse 3 through 4. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing to you that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once handed down to the saints. Why are we to be contending earnestly for this faith? Because in verse 4, certain people have crept in unnoticed. Those who were long beforehand, they were marked out for this condemnation. They're ungodly people. They turn the grace of God into licentiousness. They deny our only master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now you may be thinking, oh, that's not me. I would never do that. Well, there are many people out there who are doing it and they don't even realize it. Oh, they confess to know God, but in the eyes of God, they deny him. They still have evil deeds in their life, evil thoughts, wicked thoughts, jealousy, envy, strife, bitterness, anger of man, outbursts of anger. Those things are not of God. That's not of the Spirit of God. Those things are earthly, natural, demonic. But here, he says, they creep in unnoticed. Now, you would think, oh, well, surely I would identify somebody if they were in the church and they were they turn the grace of God into licentiousness and they deny the Master Jesus Christ. Surely they would be noticed. They would stand out like a blinking light, a warning sign. No. They don't. They creep in unnoticed. You don't even realize it because you yourself are being deceived. Many are being deceived. As you continue to look in the book of Jude, look at verse 10, verse 13. It says these men, they revile things which they do not understand. Again, they don't understand. They think they do. The things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals, by these things they're destroyed. You see, it seems logical to them. But the logic of man is foolishness. The wisdom of man is foolishness in the eyes of God. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain. For pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam. They have perished in the rebellion of Korah. You see, Cain was out offering sacrifices to God. Cain worshipped God, but not in truth. He didn't master sin. Go read about it. You look at 1 John chapter 3 and also in Genesis. He was unable to master sin. Balaam, prophet of God, spoke the words of God, outwardly obedient in all things when you read the story about him in Numbers. But the problem is, he had a bad heart. We read about that. In 2 Peter chapter 2. So even though he was outwardly obedient in all things, he was condemned. The rebellion of Korah. Men and leaders who were convinced in their mind that they were servants of God, that they were holy before God, and God accepted them as his servants, his people. God swallowed, opened the earth and swallowed some of them alive. And the earth closed over. Others he brought fire down from heaven. Others he killed with a plague. And yet the people still rebelled and could not admit that God was against them. That they were the rebellious ones. You see, the deception goes so deep that people will lose their own life even when they're standing in the presence of God and won't admit it. Verse 12, these men are those who are hidden reefs in your love feast. They feast with you without fear. They care for themselves. They're clouds without water, carried along by winds. Autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted. Wild waves of the sea casting up their shame like foam, wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. When you look at verse 18:24, it says, actually starting in 17, but beloved, you need to remember the words spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They were saying to you that the last time there will be mockers. They'll follow after their ungodly desires. They're the ones who cause divisions. They have a worldly mind. They're devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. Is that how you're standing? Is that how you're walking? Are you proving the will of God in your life? Are you able to overcome all the temptations which was promised to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13? We'll end with 2 Peter. You see, if you have come to the true knowledge of the Son of God, if you're actually fellowshipping and being taught by true teachers and not these synagogues of Satan who don't proclaim Christ, the good news, and the Spirit and truth, then you'll be told in 2 Peter chapter 1 that you're become partakers of something, God's divine nature, as it says in verse 4. You're to escape the corruption that's in the world because of the world's desires. You're now to be walking in all the qualities of godliness and moral excellence, as it talks about in verse 5, 6, and 7. These qualities are to be continuing to increase and abound. And in verse 10, it says, make certain about God's calling and election of you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble, and in this way the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied. Are you being taught these things? Or are you being taught by these people who blaspheme? They say they know God, but they blaspheme. They're a synagogue of the Church of Satan. In chapter 2, it says, false prophets arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, denying the master who bought them, bring swift destruction upon themselves. Now, who are these people? What are they saying? It doesn't say what they're saying, but it says many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the truth will be blasphemed. They will exploit you with false words. So what are these false words? Well, it comes down. He tells us what's true versus what's false by these people who dwell in the synagogues of Satan. They call themselves Christians. They call themselves lovers of Jesus. And they do it all in a deception, in a lie. See, in verse 4 of chapter 2 of 2 Peter, he says, if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them into pits of darkness reserved for judgment. Do you see the point of what's true that these people aren't saying? That you can continue to have sin in your life. No. Now, 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sin, he's faithful not just to forgive you your sin, but to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. In 1 Peter chapter 1, as you read through verse 13 through verse 16, about how you formerly used to walk in ignorance and the desires of the flesh. Formerly, you were disobedient. But now you walk in holiness in all your behavior, just as God is holy. As you continue back in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, if God did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, preacher of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood on the world of the ungodly, those who were unable to escape the sinful life, those who were unable and did not receive the new heart and the new spirit to be converted and changed into the new man. Verse 6, if God condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, he made them an example to those who would live ungodly thereafter. So he says in verse 9, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation, to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. He says that these people, these false teachers in verse 13, they will receive the wages of the unrighteousness which they have done. They count it a pleasure to revel in the daytime. God says they're stains, blemishes. They revel in their deceptions as they celebrate with you. Oh, they're going to go, and they're going to go to the services and fellowships, but they're false. Verse 4, they have eyes full of adultery in the eyes of God. He says that they're unable. They never cease from sin. They can't stop. They entice the unstable souls. Their heart is still trained in greed. They're accursed children. They forsake the right way and they've gone astray, followed the way of Balaam. See, Balaam, he was outwardly obedient to every single thing God said. When God went and rebuked him with a donkey, as it says in verse 16, God accused him of loving the wages of unrighteousness. Yet he was outwardly obedient in everything, but God looks at the heart. You still have sin in your thoughts? Well, there's a problem. How can you say you were cleansed from all unrighteousness? Verse 17, these are springs without water, mist driven by a storm, with whom the black darkness has been reserved. They speak out arrogant words of vanity. They entice by earthly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error. Oh, they promise others freedom, while they themselves are still slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, this he is enslaved. If after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are entangled in the things of the world again, the last state is worse for the first. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness and having known it to turn away from the holy commandment handed down to them. But in the end, he tells us how we're to be living. He tells us that all the things of the world are going to be destroyed with fire. Chapter 3, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. If all these things are to be destroyed in this way, then what sort of people ought you be in holy conduct and godliness? In verse 14, it says, therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless, and blameless. And then there's a warning. He says, just as Paul in all his letters speaking to them of these things, in which some things are hard to understand, but those that are untaught and unstable, they distort the teachings of Paul, as they do all the rest of the scripture, to their own destruction. Verse 17, therefore, you, beloved, knowing this in advance, be on your guard, so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. Father, I thank you for your word and your truth. Father, I pray, O God, that those who are listening, many need to wake up. They need to awake to righteousness, just as you instruct them. As I think of a passage in 1 Corinthians, one of the rebuke to the Corinthian church, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 to 34, stop being deceived. Bad teaching, bad homilies, corrupt good morals. Awake to righteousness and stop sinning. For some of you have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Father, I know there's many in the world today that they go and they worship in ignorance at synagogues of Satan, and they're deceived. They don't realize it. They think that because Jesus is proclaimed, the blood of Christ, the good news, the Holy Spirit, that it's okay. They think it's okay that, well, yeah, there's going to be differences in different churches and Christ is going to be divided with all these denominations. They don't understand. They're being lied to by the devil and the devil's workers. Father, I pray that you convict them, that they wake up, they escape this lie, that they come to holiness and righteousness, the freedom, the easy yoke, and be led by your Spirit into the kingdom. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.